Hello?
Oh, hi, is that Tim?
Speaking.
Oh, hi, Tim. I got your details from a friend of mine. He said that you do cleaning of houses and you also do it nude. And I just wonder if it's possible to arrange for you to come round to mine and do some cleaning. It's pretty dirty.
I'm not doing it anymore.
Oh, right. Okay, what happened?
I just got a bit bored with this, that kind of thing. The only thing I'm doing, I'm just doing normal cleaning, that's all.
Right. What? But you wouldn't consider doing the naked cleaning for maybe £30 an hour?
Okay.
35?
All right. Yeah, okay. Well, 30, yeah.
Okay, so, and you don't mind me being naked while you are naked?
I don't mind, no.
Okay, fine. I'm in good shape. Like, I work out quite a lot, but
Is it just one person in the house?
No, there's the nanny as well, but she won't be naked.
All right, okay. whereabouts do you live?
I live in Clapham. So yeah, I'm the CEO of Clapham. Yeah. So
okay.
Yeah,
I live in Streatham.
Okay, that's ideal. I mean, it's just my friend passed on your details, and I thought actually that sounds bloody good fun because I'm a rugby boy, so I'm used to being around sort of naked people. So I just thought, why not? Let's get him involved.
Okay,
let's have a bit of nakedness and enjoy it. A bit of banter.
Okay. Would you like me to see you? I could see you later today, or sometime tomorrow.
Let me look at my diary because I'm not sure I'm going to be here today because I'm meant to have a meeting in town. I've got a meeting at the Ned. But let me come back to you. This is the best number to contact you on, right?
Yes.
And just to say, you know, are you in good shape? Like, or are you, good chassis or a bit of a wobbly
medium
chassis?
I work out a little bit, but
okay.
Kind of medium, you know?
Great. Okay, good stuff. Okay, and you're a good cleaner, though. I mean, like, I appreciate you being naked. But, you know, ideally, you do a good job cleaning.
Yes, I do, yes.
You're decent with the Hoover.
Yes, I am.
All right, okay, cool. All right, well, it sounds like a deal. Good to do a bit of a business deal then. So, yeah, we'll shake on 30, and I'll drop you a text later, and then I'm looking forward to seeing your naked chassis.
All right, my friend.
Cheers, mate. Take it easy. Bye.
Bloody free. Have I told you I've got a high basic salary? Making money, now that's the key.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to episode 172 of the Rugbiz Podcast. We have one of our greatest ever guests in store for you in a couple of minutes. But before we get there, Archie Curzon, the
mate.
Six Nations is over.
Yeah,
you look knackered, tired, emotional, angry.
Gladys, it's funny you actually say that. I was actually saying to the guys in the office this week, I do feel a little bit empty at the moment. I always do get that feeling off Six Nations. I sort of take it for granted in a way, because when it's here, it's bloody here, man. It's just so much fun. Your weekends write themselves. You know, you plan it around the ruggers.
Yeah.
And then when it's gone, and it's sad. It's almost like someone's died.
Well, you got the summer series to look forward to.
Yeah, but it's not the same. It's not like Six Nations.
The Premiership? That's
coming
back?
Yeah, I guess so.
And the URC?
What's that?
It's the Irish, Welsh and South Africa.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I'll check that out. Yeah. Is that still going?
I think so, yeah, apparently. And also a bit
Ryan Wilson's across there, isn't he?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, he does, yeah.
Okay, I'll definitely check that out. I can't believe that's still going. Fair enough.
Yeah, he's a good friend of yours, isn't he? But come on, there's still a lot of rugby going
no,
on.
No, no, no. Look, I'm positive. It was just a wonderful tournament, better than I expected. And I really, really enjoyed it. I think the good way is, look, I've got more time to concentrate on my CrossFit, producing running content, and getting back to some good old-fashioned BD. It sort of marks the end of Q1, which, by the way, has been phenomenal. You know,
has it been a good one?
Oh, mate, it's been fairly buoyant.
Yeah.
You know, I would say it's a little bit like Ollie Lawrence, you know. It's had its ups and downs and then finished on a real high.
Well, that's good. That's great, going to new quarter.
That's the kind of analogies I use in the office. I use a lot of rugby players as sort of analogies, and I would definitely say this Q1 has been very Ollie Lawrence.
Well, talking about rugby players, obviously we just lost to the French and Lyon. Yeah. Ireland, congratulations, champions again of the Six Nations. And the Italians, what a win in Cardiff. Back-to-back wins.
Unbelievable. I am so, so happy for them.
and friend of the podcast, Seb Negri. I think they thoroughly deserve it. I'd be worried if I was Welsh. I might look into whether I'm sort of like a quarter Welsh or something, see if I can help them out.
You could probably get a run out.
Just like commercially wise, it makes sense.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, I can't even remember the guy who plays fly half.
No, I've got no idea.
Is he good looking?
I don't know.
See, that's where they're going wrong. You need someone fairly good looking in the 10 role. Although Scotland is a bit of an anomaly.
Talking about players, I want to know, who was your player of the Six Nations?
Yeah, good question. I'm going to go quite rogue here. My Six Nations player...
What, like Ben Earl or something?
No, not Ben Earl. Fraser Dingwall.
What?
Yeah.
Fraser Dingwall?
For me, I thought Fraser had a really, really solid Six Nations. Yeah. He played first couple of games, mate. He played bloody well. Okay. He did a lot of unnoticed work. And I think he's the reason why Ollie Lawrence looks so bloody good, mate. So, yeah, our player of the tournament. Do you want to do some trumpets?
Rugby's podcast, Guinness Six Nations player of the tournament is Fraser Dingwall. Well done. A round of applause.
It'd be good if he could come up and get the award, but I'll keep it and give it to him when I see him in the ship at some point.
Archie, what an absolute treat the listeners are in store for, because we're joined by the most capped England player of all time, one of the greatest scrum halves in the history of the game, Mr. Ben Youngs. Can I just say, the calibre of guests on this series in particular have been unbelievable.
No, it should be said.
Yeah.
We just keep delivering and delivering.
We do.
And that's what you really got to do in life.
Yep.
That's why I've been so successful in the city. Like, every year I deliver. And on this podcast, we deliver. And yeah, look, it's wonderful to have Youngsy. I mean, it's been years in the making, really.
It has been.
But unfortunately, when he was part of the England setup, you know.
Sorry, Steve said I've got to keep my head down.
It's good to have a button.
Yeah,
it's been late doors in the podcast, mate, but I bloody love the buttons.
I have enjoyed that.
Mate, big shout out to Maritoge. He put a big shift in on Saturday. Just a quick shout out to Maritoge.
Another one.
That button is just so good.
It is fucking
Please
good.
Tell me that button will never go.
Well, it may have to go, but let's see about
and
that.
And just a big shout out to the guys at Coutts.
Coutts Bank. The best bank to bank with.
Youngsy's waiting for us to interview him.
I guess there's only one thing to say, Clodis.
What's that?
Onside! Onside! Chat!
Can you hear me?
Oh! Jesus Christ!
Youngsy's here. We've got him.
We got me. Oh, we've thank got God for Youngsy. That, lads.
Wow. Yeah.
I'm so sorry.
No, it's silly. Okay. It's okay. I mean,
it's not, though. It's not.
No, it is.
I'm late.
Mate,
what are you doing?
You're the most capped England player in history.
Yeah.
I thought you'd have
like at least two or three people in the house like doing various things for you, just sort of setting things up.
Oh no, I'm sorry, lads. Firstly, I apologise. I'm not cleanly shaven. I was actually freshly shaven yesterday, and then till every horse I backed yesterday didn't come in, so I've managed to regrow within a day.
Were you out jumping yesterday?
I wasn't. No, I was on the comfort of my sofa.
Ugh, even more dangerous.
Acting like as my wife was in around the house, acting like nothing was going on, and that I simply had not lumped anything on that horse that fell. So yes, and then this morning I had non-23 rugby, which is always a bit of fun, bit of CV games.
Yeah, no, that's. I mean, I was just saying, Youngsy, I don't know if you heard. Fridays for me is full body Friday. I'm up at 4:30. Interestingly, the nanny is not here this week, so I left my daughter at home sleeping in the house, but she was fine. I got back at 6:30 and she was crying. Like, I was like, what's wrong with you? No, I think it was the fact that I'd left her by herself. But
well, we were in Edinburgh, you know, a couple of days ago with obviously Youngsy's old teammate Jim Hamilton.
Yeah.
Had a good night.
Yeah, that show was like a show for the young conservatives of Britain.
Yeah.
It was just full of people in tweed jackets.
Yeah.
They were white middle class guys.
Well, there was a GB News show on that.
Yeah.
Wasn't there?
That's actually quite exciting, Youngsy. You're probably the first one to know. I told Jim the other night, about to announce a show on GB News with Goody. It's going to be called Banter, Booze and Britain. And we've lined up our first three guests, which are Katie Hopkins, Tommy Robinson and Nigel Farage.
Wow, that's going to be great.
And yeah, we're just going to talk about how much we love this country and, you know, and reform. We're really back in reform.
UK.
Yeah, yeah. Absolutely wonderful.
I reckon you found a good gap in the market then.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Smash it. Yeah, good luck with that one.
Just two fly halves. You like wearing gloves and just say how it is.
Well, Youngsy, you said you're losing, you know, a fair bit of money on the GGs this week, but... I mean, you made over $3,175,000 just playing for England, so it's going to take some losing to get, you know, that bad, isn't it?
We'll be all right. We'll roll with the punches. Today's the last day, Gold Cup today. So, you guys gone down or not?
I went to school in Cheltenham College. Okay. So played first 15 there with Benders, Nick Abendon. So he was normally playing fly half, but I said, listen, mate, you're gonna have to move to fullback, and the rest is history for him.
He's
lucky
welcome.
He met me.
get on the outside of this, I'll make you look good and get your half contract on the back.
I was just like, miss pass. My favorite pass is a right hand triple miss pass, and that was the key to taking people out, just finding width on the ball. Love Cheltenham, love the races. I'm always there trying to spot, you know, celebs there. I once saw what I thought was Dylan Hartley. But again, mistakenly, it was just a fat guy having a Cornish pasty.
Obviously, you know, talking about exciting news, you're returning to Twickenham. You're going to be donning the famous black and white of the Barbarians the first time ever. You played 127 times for England, but never for the famous Barbars. Archie, you said that Rory Lawson, who we actually saw the other night as well, who's on the Barbars committee, was going to try and get Archie into Barbars. Would you guys like to, Youngsy, would you like to link up 9-10 with Archie?
It's a no-brainer. You've got to make it happen. Like, yeah. Rory's got to make that happen.
He does.
Like, how good would that be, Arch? Like, you know, about the amateur game, and think of what you've given to the amateur game.
Yeah.
And well, how much you have grown it. Years of dedication.
The semi-pro game.
Well, it's amateur.
Semi-pro. Well, some people say amateur.
It's Div 5 South West London. See,
but no, it would be an absolute honour, because, you know, I don't know if you've ever heard me, but when I came to Twickenham and watched you, Youngsy, I was always shouting, yeah, did you ever hear that? I don't know if you heard, I was quite hurt.
I always thought it was a family member, but it turns out it was you all these years.
So, actually, someone said, oh, do you know Youngsy? I said, no, just assume that's what they call him. and a number of times I've been in the pub, and I'm like, that classic Youngsy, that's great, bring him on. Like, we need to add a bit of tempo. And someone's like, do you know Youngsy? I was like, kind of in a way, but yeah, would love to link up with Youngsy at 10. But I said to Rory, unfortunately contracted with this GB News stuff, I won't be able to play. It's crossover brands, but maybe one day.
Conflict of interest. But no, it will be to play for the Barbars is going to be pretty awesome, to be fair. And I don't know who else is playing yet. I know that Zach Mercer's obviously, he's doing it.
It's the only gig you can get nowadays. He came back from France, and the only gig you get is the Barbers.
Poor bloke. And then Robbie Deans is heading up, I think, as the coach. So, I'm looking forward to it. It's like, it's one of these things that you never get the opportunity to do until basically you either stop getting picked for England or you retire. Yeah. So it's going to be good. And the only thing is we're playing against Fiji. Yeah. And I'm a little bit wary that I'm there for a good time, sun's shining, I've had a week on the booze, made some new mates, had a great week, and it could get spoiled by getting my head taken off,
by
getting filled in by a couple of Fijians, all running rings around me. So that wasn't really, I said yes before I knew who the fixture was, but now I'm committed. So I'm all in, lads.
Youngsy, how do you prepare for something like that? Do you start to have a few beers a couple of weeks before, you know, 2-3 nights in the booze, just to prepare yourself for what is to come? Or do you just go in there raw?
Do you know what? I might have to get down a couple of local clubs and start doing the Yard of Ales, start building up the tolerance. You know, what's your drink? What drink do you go for? If you're at Twickenham for the day, what are you going for?
I don't know
if you're allowed to promote on this.
I'm always on the Guinness. I mean, that's just a classic, you know, rugby drink for me. And it's actually quite funny. I was there for the Wales game, and me and a couple of boys, we stacked a couple of the Guinness plastic glasses together, and we had actually quite a decent game of touch. It was 8-on-8 in the car park, and we played for a good hour. It was actually bloody good banter. There's some decent players there, but yeah, absolutely love the Guinness. That's a good all day drink. But you know, if you're thinking about the rig, when I'm in Furlough's on a Saturday night, and you know, I was saying to Stefan Armitage last week, I normally take some Tupperware with me, just some eggs, a bit of chicken, because I like to eat on the go. That's good for you. Keep going, and then I'm on the vodka lime and soda waters. Because you want to feel light when you get. I'm single, Youngsy, so I want to feel light when I get in the bedroom. You know, I don't want to be feeling like I've had, you know, a full day on the Guinness and then have to, you know, perform all kinds of weirdness. You know, one of my moves is the vibrator, which, you know, is this technically I just lie on top and I jut, and that gives the girls instant pleasure.
You can't be doing that with a belly full of Guinness.
No, dangerous. Well, it is dangerous. Yeah. I've had some ropey moments, but not, you know, if I have, that's what I watch Living with the Lions slightly longer, because that's sort of the pre build up with the girl. you know, especially when Zeebo, when Zeebo and the dice lands on Zeebo and he has to call the coach. That is the time I go in for the snot.
Well, Youngsy was on that tour. We're gonna talk about that later. But quickly, mentioning Steph Armitage there, he said that 2015 World Cup, there were some England players who voted against him coming back in the team. He didn't know who they were. Do you remember that at all or not?
No, I do not know that.
It was Youngsy.
Yeah, it's definitely me. Yeah.
Talking about World Cups, though, obviously you retired in France. You're obviously the greatest England scrum half we've ever seen, the most capped player. But tell us about that last week in France. You get knocked out against South Africa, and then we start seeing the photos come into the boys and all-day piss-ups. How good was that final week before the third-place playoff?
Do you know what? Yeah, like once you lose, it's a real... You have this like dilemma, really. It's this sort of, you're all gutted having lost the semi-final, but then the realisation is you've still got another game to go. And, you know, not taking anything away from the third and fourth playoff, but it's not really a fixture that you have in mind when you're aiming for a bit more. So when you come up, when you fall short, like we did, it's a tough one. You've got two options. You sit in your room in your sulk, or you go to Paris and you have a few beers with the boys and try and regroup. And that's what we did. So we went into, boys were pretty banged up actually as well, because that was a physical encounter. Yeah. So we headed into Paris and we decided to have a good drink. It's such a pressure cooker at times. You need those times to actually, when you have got an opportunity to let loose and escape it and kind of decompress. The boys are pretty good at that, because sometimes, you know, like I said, the tournament's so intense. And it was like the first time in the tournament where like, right, okay, let's get on it together and have a drink and kind of numb the pain a little bit of the loss, and then before you know it, you're one session in and you plan a Friday night. So and then afterwards we had a good social as well. But like, you know, I think rugby's never lost its traditions in terms of actually being able to socialise and bring people together. It's a really important aspect of the game. I was doing something the other week actually. I was coaching a team, Chesterfield Panthers, and my brother was coaching another team, Ollerton, and they played against each other. And it was great. Like, just that amateur love of the game, doing all that. Like, it was class to be involved with, the drinking after and everything like that, the songs. So yeah, there's still elements of that. There's snippets of that even in the professional game.
Youngsy, you should really come down to Clapham and come join the Clapham Falcons for a night out. I mean,
I was hoping I'd get an invite, but you've just given me one. So get me down.
Once the Bar Bars is finished, we'll send you an invite for Clapham Falcons. And we have such a laugh. We did a shit shirt night the other night, and we were all out in shit shirts. I wasn't, because I was on the pool, and I just thought, if I wear a shit shirt, I'm definitely not going to get any interest. But the lads were the lads. There was one guy wearing like different coloured sleeves, and I was like, that's actually quite good banter. But yeah, Clefty, we call him Clefty. His sister's got a cleft palate.
Youngsy, obviously you played at four World Cups. South Africa knock us out the semi-final this time round. They beat us in the final in 2019. They speak about it on a show in South Africa, their hatred for the English, like they feel that their fire is the strongest. Do you feel that when you play against South Africa? Like, do you feel that they are the opposition which sort of have something more to prove against those haters more than others?
Cool. I feel like most teams do when we play them for England. Like,
everyone hates the English.
It's always Scotland's final every year, but they showed at the weekend, they beat England and they can't back it up. Yeah. Go to Italy and get done. But they've played their cup final, so they're all happy. You know, Wales is the same, massive game that Irish, like I've never sensed, like playing for England, I've never sensed like, oh, that one team
haters more,
just likes you more. It just seems to be really consistent throughout. Obviously got a few South African lads at the club and they're great guys, you know, Andre, Jasper, yeah. Hanro, like that, top blokes.
Can I just say on Andre Pilard, I am a massive, massive fan of his wife
Maurice. Yeah.
She's really the content she's putting out on Instagram is incredible. Worth noting. Yeah, a little tip for all the listeners this week, get on that. She's phenomenal. I mean, really, like, yeah, there's not a post I don't like. That her and also Beth. Absolutely love Beth.
Youngsy, you played on the board.
She's a phenomenal human being. She really is. She's one of Pretty Things' best ambassadors, I've got to say. Her content, you know, when she puts out stuff going to watch Marcus at Twickenham, I'm on board for the good 2 minutes. He's capturing some wonderful shots of everything. The whole day, hospitality, and then Marcus Smith at the end. I'm just like,
Yes, please, follow.
Youngsy, obviously you play.
But also like when she does all the other stuff, the modelling stuff is really good as well. I mean, it's multi-faceted.
Youngsy, you played under...
Brilliant. She's going to go to places. Mate, sorry, carry on.
Youngsy, you played under Borthers, obviously Leicester when you won the Prem, played in under him in England. He gets a bit of, you know, bad slack for being an incredibly boring man. Is he, like, if we played a quick game now, this is saying sit at the back of the bus. Martin Johnson, Stuart Lancaster, Eddie Jones and Borthwick, which one would you not want to sit next to on a long journey? From Leicester down to sort of Wasps when they used to be or Irish now.
Oh, God. With Eddie, you're in for a good laugh. Like, yeah. You know what I mean? You're actually going to have a laugh with them and everything like that. And the other guys, they're just serious guys. You know, Steve is an extremely thorough in terms of the way that he wants to play, his philosophies in terms of he preps the team. And, you know, he's a serious chap.
Have you ever seen him get loose, though, Steve? Have you ever had like a good time with him jumping the bath?
I've seen him get loose.
Arch?
I saw him when Bath won the Challenge Cup final. I saw him get loose in a bar in Bath. I was there. And yeah, he was very excited about the victory that weekend. And then I egged him once in Bath. And that's my claim to flame. I got him right on the back. And he wasn't excited about that. No, he wasn't excited.
How'd it go down, right?
Not good.
You could have got away with it. Did he know it was you?
He never knew until this podcast. And now I've announced it. And now he knows. But I don't think with his profile, he's not going to do anything about it. Him,
you're safe.
And James Scaisbrook. Do you remember James Scaisbrook?
The seven. Yeah,
he nearly laid me out in a bar in Bath, actually.
Great memories.
Dave Flatman saved me in a HSBC bank. You know the ones where you put your card in, you could get in. They chased me down a street, and luckily Flats saved me from what could have been death by a guy from Birmingham.
talking about Eddie Jones being a character, come on, give us some of your best moments. We've had some great, great stories on this podcast, players coming on and just hearing the weird calls, nicknames, abuse, preparations he did. Just what are the weirdest things you sort of remember from Eddie? Things which really stick out.
I think he's mentioned before about when we were playing New Zealand in the World Cup, and he had a samurai sword and he was waving that thing around. And honestly, that thing was lethal. We've had bits where, Johnny May, we were playing for Leicester when Johnny was at Leicester, and we played Saracens. And it was like Christmas Eve was the game. And Johnny got yellow carded twice for two slapdowns. So trying to go for intercept, didn't catch it. Yellow card, came back on literally 30 minutes later, same thing. And then he had a message, I think, from Eddie at like 5 a.m. saying, Merry Christmas, mate. I've got you some juggling balls. They should be arriving you for Boxing Day. I want you to get straight on it because you need to catch or something like that. So that was pretty amusing. And then just general stuff. He's just very quick-witted. Like he enjoyed, Arch, you know what it's like, mate. He just enjoyed banter. If the boys were having banter, he wanted a piece of it. Yeah. And he wanted, if someone was against the ropes, he wanted to come in and throw a few jabs just to send them over the top like a Royal Rumble and get him eliminated.
I hate missing out on banter. That's one of the rules I've got in the office in my team. I'm like, I don't want to have the if there's any banter happening behind my back, that's not allowed. I want to be right there for it. Otherwise, I'll be absolutely pissed off. Once someone had an inside joke I wasn't a part of and I was absolutely furious. No, I brought them both in the office and I just said, look, if this shit happens again, I'll debag you. To be fair, it was pretty good banter.
Was it a girl?
No. It was about I can't go into it legally about what it was.
Okay.
Yeah. I'll actually bring it out on my GB News show.
Sorry,
Youngs. Just on Eddie Jones. Obviously, it ended quite messily, and he left the camp. You were there. From the outside, it seemed like all the boys loved him, but then it came out that he kind of lost the team slightly, and then the fans. What is that like? Because it seemed like obviously you've been through a number of coaches. I'm guessing some players love the coach, some players don't. How does a coach sort of keep everyone happy? Because I guess it's key to keeping your job.
Yeah, look, I'll be honest, I never sensed he lost the boys. I never sensed that at all. I think the narrative changed with Eddie, didn't it, in terms of the external media. They kind of were gunning for him, and the British press have a pretty good way of once someone's in the firing line and they want them, they're going for him. So the boys were always, I never sensed that at Eddie, but I think at the end, like when he did go, it was a surprise because we were so close to the World Cup. We were only like 10 months out. The autumn was a little bit hit and miss, but we drew in New Zealand, we'd beaten Japan, pumped Japan, and we lost to Argentina, but and lost heavily to South Africa. But Yeah, like it was strange, obviously, him going, because he'd been there now for a good while. I think the biggest thing was actually during the 16 to 19, where we had a brilliant 4 years, we had great assistant coaches with Eddie. And then after that, a lot of those assistant coaches got picked up for new roles, rightly so, because they're very good at what they do. And obviously one of them is now Steve, who's their coach. But after 19, those coaches didn't necessarily get replaced, or the guys that did come in and replace them didn't stay long. They then went off. So it was always like a moving part. Then there wasn't really much stability under Eddie in terms of the coaches. It was just in and out, flowing and changing. And, you know, we had guys that are coming over from Australia and they'd go join rugby league. And it was just all a bit crazy. And I think ultimately that had an effect more than anything to do with the team. I think the constant change of the assistants was an issue.
Commercial break. Hey guys, hope you're enjoying the interview. I'm sure you are. It's an absolute banger and an award-winning podcast, so you're welcome. But just a quick one. You guys can still get hold of More Lash for 15% off. Even though the Six Nations is over, we're extending the deal, so you can get 15% off all of your beers, all of your More Lash. All you got to do is go to the More Lash website in the link below and put in the code MORELASH15. That'll get you 15% off. Cipriani, Smith, Farrell, Ford, Wilkinson, Burns. Who was the best one? Who's the most naturally talented? Who just you could feel them just like effortlessly being a genius?
When you read all that out, think how good they are. To narrow them down.
Just think how good you are. I mean, that's what your CV must read so well. You're not going to struggle after rugby. You'll be getting a job, corporate job, ASAP. Let me know. I'll sort it out for you.
Archie, get me in the city, mate. Read that out and get me in the city. Get me some contacts there.
You've got to make a decision there.
You know, you really put me on the spot. The thing is, they all have different talents.
George Ford likes to hoover.
I've played with George a lot, because obviously club level as well. And I definitely have a real understanding. A lot of times we wouldn't even have to speak. Like, I just knew, I knew where he was going to be. I knew what he wanted. I knew when he wanted it, like a needle ball between like the forwards of pods. I knew when he wanted, like, you kind of have this synergy. So he without doubt is up there. Marcus is like the best broken field. Like, if the game gets loose, he's phenomenal. Faz, if it's like arm wrestle test match, like, brilliant. Obviously Johnny, I only played a really short time with Johnny, and the game's actually changed loads since then. But of course, England legend without doubt. And then you got Burnsy
for the piss,
and God love him. So if you win a trophy, you want to be basically, if you win a trophy, you want to get out of Burnsy.
Yeah.
If you want the tactics to how to win the game, you want 40.
Yeah.
If it's tight, you want Faz, and if it's loose, you want Marcus. There you go.
If you want to do
ayahuasca to win it, you want Wilco. There you go.
I was going to say, if you want to do ayahuasca, you want Johnny Wilkinson.
Yeah.
That's what you want.
Is it?
Yeah. And if you want to end up with some weird people in bed, you want Cipriani.
Yeah.
So you've got it all covered, yeah. Really.
And if you want a night out, you got Arch, Macam 10.
Youngsy, you made your debut for Leicester, only 17.
Yeah,
I think it was Roundtree's last game. But did you have to do an initiation? I mean, just because obviously you were playing.
Yeah, there was initiation.
2007. Like, you were the last kind of throw of like old school rugby. So give us a bit of an insight. You're 17. You walk into a change room of fucking legends. What do they make you do? Because it must have been horrific.
It was, I had a crossover of like amateur, like not amateur, but like old school and new school. Well, firstly, Leicester used to be two change rooms, right? And you were not allowed in the other change room. And I remember Jim Hamilton, I think he got capped by Scotland, and he wasn't allowed in because one Scottish cap counts for like 50 Scotland caps is the equivalent of about one English cap. That's the theory anyway. So he wasn't allowed in there. So we had these two change rooms. And if you think COVID came from Wuhan, it didn't. It came from this change room in Leicester. It was horrible. There's a dungeon. There was no air, no light. It was absolutely awful. So you had these two sheds, and we come in one time, and I was like, boards had finished scrummaging and they'd left their scrum boots on the field. So I grabbed a couple of pairs and I knew who they were, like Ben Ehrings, and I think another pair was like George Shooters or something. So walked in the sheds. You got the non-internationals on the right, and you got the international big dogs on the left. So I've opened the big dogs change room, and immediately within half a second of opening up the door, I'm getting tape lobbed at me, boots lobbed at me, shin pads, gum shield, you name it. Like, it's whoa, like I'm dodging like Bruce Lee. Door closes. They're like, get out, like that. They're like, knock. So then I knock and open up the door again. They're like, come in, open up the door. And they're all very, very polite. Lenny, what do you want, mate? How can we help you? I'm like, literally just being abused and chucked water over and everything like that. And then I was like, I've got some boots. Oh, that's so kind. Just put them there and then allowed out. So that's how it kind of, you had sort of that. And initiation, you had take the back seat. Have you played that one, Arch?
No. What's that? What is that?
back of the bus, you'd have some, who do you have in there? You'd have like Julian White, George Shooter, Lewis Moody, Martin Corey. Oh, it's gnarly, isn't it?
Yeah.
Graham Rowntree.
Dan
all them at the back of the bus. Danny was, yeah, he would be back up, back, yeah. back there, back towards yeah. that way. And then it was like, they'd start like chanting like really quietly, you'll never take the back seat. You'll never. And it gets bigger and bigger. And then basically your job is to try and take the back seat, which actually you just get filled in basically. But it's good fun. I remember Tommy Vandell got slapped so hard on top of his head. He literally had an absolute palm print for about 3 days of a perfect bruise on his bald head. Yeah, lads some of the horrible lads would get naked in the hope that would put lads off of filling them in and no one would touch them, but it didn't work. In fact, it ended even worse for them. So we had to do that. That was part of the initiation. And then it's all changed now, isn't it? So
yeah,
now you have to come into work and if someone's been there 5 minutes, you've got to listen to their opinion because it's the right thing to do, apparently. Yeah.
Do you think that has kind of ruined it? I know, obviously, we've just done a podcast tour and we've had Tom Vandell,
Flats,
Jim Hamilton. Yeah. And one thing, like, I guess I speak to is that I'm a rugby fan from that era because, in a way, rugby players are so tangible. You'd be able to go out in town and you see them, you'd be able to talk to them. And now, I know there's professionalism, by the way, I get that, but there is a less of that tangibility to come across those players. Do you think that has changed as well, the accessibility? And obviously doing social media stuff with clubs like, you know, Harlequins and stuff, there are so many people between the top and the bottom saying no, 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 that doesn't necessarily allow to show the personality of the game. And I think that's what people captured is the personality, the rugby players, that environment, which I know, look, things move on, times move, but that fun that comes from rugby is sort of seems to be sapped a little bit.
I think you're spot on in what you're saying. I think the element, what's changed is the trust from other people around you. So if you go out, like, you boys enjoy themselves. Like when you're in your environment with mates, you want to have a good time, right? But you've got to have a lot of trust of like the external people that now all have camera phones and now all like potentially know you are and you have all those issues and you just didn't have that. Like when I first started, you just never had that. Like I remember, I don't know, life was just simple, wasn't it? Like I remember we played the premiership final and I remember we went in that in, I think it was like 2007 or 8, something like that. And like, you know, you go on like 3 days of just carnage and fun and it was class, but you know, now you've got to be so careful and trustworthy of where you go and you know, it only takes one incident exactly. So yeah, I think it's guys are still, we've still got great characters in the game. We've still got boys that are very amusing, great fun, like all places, but equally they just kind of have to be careful about when and when they do that. As much as we love being professionals, we love having a good time just as much. And it's just the trust from the outside to make sure that you kind of don't slip up, because I think unfortunately, there's an appetite for people to try and catch you out.
I just think there will be, I'll finish it. I do think there'll be a point where somebody will go out on the leeway and be brave and they will get called out maybe, but I think people will be endeared to that because I think in rugby circles, I think necessarily like the RFU and rugby, I know they want to find a new audience, but sometimes you forget about the people who are core rugby fans who just love it. I think they'll back them to the hills. And I think out of that, someone will come like a big like star, maybe not an international, but someone who will put themselves out there and people will love it for them.
Absolutely. I agree with you.
Youngsy, you made your debut, obviously, for England 2010, weirdly coming on the wing for an injured Hugo Monier. Obviously, 127 caps, four World Cups. What is that one game which still stands out longest in your memory? Maybe not a final, but what's that one great England memory you're going to keep with you forever?
Playing alongside my brothers, obviously, up there, like doing that without doubt. I think we played France. Archie, you might have been there. Were you there? We played France 2015. We had to score like 40-odd points. And Ireland won the title. I think Wales romped home against Italy, so they were going to win the title. Then Ireland beat Scotland, which gave them enough leeway that they were in charge. And then we had to beat France by, I think it was like 15 points or something like that. And it was a hell of a game. That's one of my favorite games. We didn't win the title, but we came up short by about 4 points or something.
Yeah.
So that one, 2016, winning the Grand Slam, and then probably 19, beating New Zealand in the semi. And we played Australia one autumn and I dummied Fibs and scored. That was up there as well. Yeah. So Yeah, it's hard. They sort of all roll into one. Do you know what I mean? But I've got more highs than lows, which is always a nice thing to have, right?
What's it like being best mates with your brother? I mean, obviously you played with him for England, you played with him for the Lions, you played with him for Leicester. Archie, your brother hates you. Like, I'm just trying to work out, what is it like to get on with your brother? What's it like to be proud of each other?
It's difficult. You know, Youngsy's significantly better looking than Tom. And so, you know, Tom probably respects that. And with Hector, he doesn't respect that. I'm, you know, more charming, better looking, more popular on Instagram. I'm happier. Like, I generally
am. But he's got a family. Well, he's got a lot of money. He's happy.
He's got family, you know, and he says that's the most important thing. He's not on social media. And I'm like, whatever, mate. I'm on social media all the time. I'm a single father. I'm living the dream. You know, every post I put hashtag I'm happy, hashtag I am really.
But you would love to have a brother who loves you. And
not necessarily, I've got teammates who love me. You okay. know, like Simba. You know, Simba is my team. Well, he was my team. He was trying to take my position, but he's a great guy. Youngs, you love him. We call him Simba because his dad died.
That's banter, isn't it?
Yeah,
at the end of the day, Arch.
I gave him that name 12 hours after the incident. I don't think that was probably the wrong kind of banter. He's really grown into that name, really. He rejected it first couple of years, but now he's taken it on board.
He's grown to it. Yeah. I remember one of the lads came in the changing room once and I said, bloody hell, mate, I want to trip over your bottom lip. Are you all right or what? And he's like, no, not really. I was like, oh, God, what's going on then? He's like, oh, my wife left me last night. I was like, oh, shit, sorry, mate. I'm not going to name him. But yeah, that was
Goody.
Put your foot in it.
Goody, he's a listener. So. Youngsy, you've won the Prem 5 times. That must be more than anyone. Which quickly was the toughest win, but also more importantly, you were saying earlier about the great celebrations in 08 or 07.
Yeah.
What was the best night celebratory-wise?
We beat Northampton. That was up there, definitely. 2013. Saints Leicester is obviously a great rivalry. Winning that was pretty epic. The best nights. It's not. The thing is, you do the drinking afterwards. Obviously in the changing room. You're obviously all dehydrated to hell, so it goes straight to you straight away. I remember the first time I won the Premiership. I was actually 17. I wasn't legally aged to drink, and I was spraying the champagne. And a lady ran over and grabbed it off me quick. And was like, "You can't be seen on telly spraying that. You're underage." So that was ridiculous. The best celebrations is, do you know what? Lads just go for it. Yeah. It's like it feels like a stag do more than anything. It's like the calendar's cleared, not that we have anything to do because training's done, and it's like 3-4 days of just on it.
Yeah.
Was it Infernos?
That's like December.
I've got to admit something. I've heard so much about Infernos, but I've never been.
What? 127 caps for England?
That is so disappointing. You know,
so I need to come and coach your team or join. No, we'll play together.
Yeah.
And then you take me out, Arch.
Oh my days, Youngsy. You wouldn't have to buy a drink. It's just full, you know, it's full to the block of like just seriously good rugby lads, you know.
Youngsy, obviously 4 World Cups you played in, should have been 3 Lions tours, you withdrew from 2 of them. But that one in Australia, which you did obviously play on, apparently the last great tour, we've had a lot of people on that 2013 tour, just apparently
that was great,
the perfect mix between professionalism but also having an amazing time in Australia. Just tell us, who was your favourite character, who you thought you may hate on that trip? Obviously you guys have beef as countries, but like when you get on there, who did you form a great friendship with? And also, how loose was that flight back? Because apparently there was nothing like it. 30,000 feet has never seen such drama.
It was a great trip. Like it epitomizes that old school touring, and Gats like was so good about it and got it. Like we went to obviously Hong Kong to start with, and we were on the going out for the first couple of nights, and then we had to train, which we didn't know we were going to train, so he did us dirty really. But it was quite smart, really, because we obviously got on the booze, and then training then 2 days later in top humidity, it kind of, you've had the booze and you've broken down those boundaries and barriers with those guys, and then you're all in it, like sweating it out together, like dying inside but doing it, and it kind of, so that understanding of that. The guys are, the Welsh lads are great lads. They're all great lads. Luckily there was only one Scot, so it's fine. So the boys were you know, got to take one. Otherwise everyone gets a bit, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
so
yeah.
Got to take one.
They're normally South African though, so it's okay.
just lived in Scotland for 2 years and Greg has got them in. The guys I've gone really well with on that tour, I got on really well with Justin Tipperick. So he was a great guy. It's just strange, you know, because you're so used to playing these guys, and then you're in the same team, and it is the best experience. It's absolutely brilliant. I also doing it alongside my brother, you know, Tom Croft, a great friend of mine. He was there, Coley. It was a great time. And that balance of you'd play on a Wednesday night, you go on the piss Wednesday night, rock in, hold some tackle shields Thursday, just about get through training. Friday, then you'd have your training session again. Saturday, those guys would play. You go out the piss with them. Sunday, everyone recover, hungover, and just repeat of that. So it's the way it should be. Well, we should just bring it at club level. Yeah. That's how it should be.
Sexton and Farrell, apparently like the two most committed tens ever, never stopped thinking about the game. What was it like? Yeah. Did they like spend a lot of time together talking about rugby? Like, you can imagine that's all they do and live for.
No, they do. What they are is when they're on, they're like really on, and they drive standards, training, and they drag others with you. But when they're off, they're like anyone else, like they have an off button. Faz is good fun on the booze.
Hang out together though? Like, you can imagine them just sat.
I think naturally, if you're tens or you're like, if you're like props, isn't it? They hang out and they chat and they talk and they thingy. But yeah, those guys were there doing that. And
It's like the city, you know, like I'm off now, you know, I'm just, you know, loosey goosey, just having a chat with England's most capped scrum half. But when I get in the office and I'm, you know, I have to do, a power hour on the phones, I'm on, mate, and I don't turn off. I'm just, hello, Jonathan. I hope this phone call finds you well. The weather's looking pretty good today. listen, we should definitely catch up. Bam. Hi, Mr. Macchiato. Hi, good to see you. Yeah, is this a good time to speak? And I'm just like that. Then I get off and I hang out with other guys who look like me, wear the same clothes, and we just chat about business, money, Rolexes, and how happy we are. Fucking great.
Hashtag really happy.
Yeah, hashtag really happy. It's just like the city is like one big Lions tour, basically. That's what I equate to.
That's what I've got to get down there.
You would fucking love it.
Well, what are you planning on doing post rugby? Obviously, you've got, I think, 1 year plus one, is it, at Leicester?
I've got, I've got the rest of this season and next for now. And then we'll weigh it up. But at some point, the curtains will be closed and I'll be done. So I'll be looking to do something else. My brother farms, so I've got no interest in that.
No.
You've got your podcast, haven't you? Tell us just little bit about that, because obviously the listeners, I mean, you know, you're competing with us, but I mean,
yes.
Yeah. You're probably more serious. We're a sports comedy podcast. Globally award winning 2023.
I love what you guys are about. So genuine. Yes, myself and Coley, for the love of rugby. It's an opportunity to promote the game and talk about all the things we love about it. Of course, we've got some stories. Of course, we've got knowledge, and we want to share that with you. Everyone thinks Coley's a miserable old bastard, but he's actually not. He's actually very amusing, and it's a chance to show him off. So it's good fun with that. We'll get guys on and stuff like that. But it's about doing things a little bit differently. And whilst we're still in it, it's an opportunity to show people, you know, that side that we spoke about earlier, really, that you're still just genuine guys and we go about and do our things. So it's been good fun. I've enjoyed it.
Was the Rig Biz ever played during the World Cup? Did any of the boys listen to it? I know there's a few, like Lewis Ludham always listens.
Ollie Lawrence.
Cares.
Lads definitely listen, without doubt. Without doubt. Okay. Without doubt.
It's good to know. It's
Why
good
wouldn't
to
know. You? Yeah. Why wouldn't you?
Yeah. It's an award-winning podcast.
You know, as I said, the pressure cooker. Why wouldn't you want to listen to some quality, high content banter?
Yeah. Yeah.
45 minutes to zone out. Genuine lads, good work. I love it. I do.
What's the best side you've ever played against?
New Zealand.
No, but I need like a specific kind of, which one?
Oh, the Carter McCall era, like Ben Smith, Conrad Smith, Nonu. Yeah. Jesus Christ, I don't think I'm going to sleep well tonight. I'll have to name that. That New Zealand period over, like, you know, what was it 2011 to like 16?
Biggest fight you witnessed on the pitch?
We played Montpellier in a pre-season friendly, and Matt Smith got gouged really badly, and it was just all chaos. But of course, you know, given a pre-season friendly, like, the French weren't too bothered. There was no sighting commissioner or anything like that. So it was all hell broke loose.
Biggest fight you witnessed off the pitch, night outs? Anything down there like there is in Bath the whole time?
Saru Rambini and Henry Tuolangi were in after a premiership final, actually, and they were drinking back at the stadium, and this commotion was going on, and then next minute Henry's turned around and just said, Saru, you pushed me too far, brother, and just banged him, and Saru's just absolutely gone through the doors.
Oh my god.
So that was, I mean, when I say a big fight, it like no just one's stopping it and no one's getting involved. It was just a big like, oh, there we go. Something's happened over there.
Most embarrassing thing to happen to you on the pitch?
I was doing the 400 meters running when I was like under 12s or something like that. I needed a pee so badly, right? And I asked them, I said, can I go to the toilet, please? And they said, well, you might miss your race. And I was desperate. And because we were under 12s, I think we were like the last to go. Well, I've got to start line, take your marks, get set, boom. I had to let it go, float down the leg. That was probably the most embarrassing thing that's happened to me on a sports
scenario. When you need to go, you need to go.
But you got to go, mate. And do you know what? Yeah. I was a bit slow at the blocks, Arch, but it's all right. I clawed it back, mate, and came home for the win. So
there you go.
Soaking and all.
If you won, that's fine. That doesn't, you know, that's, no one's going to take the piss out of you waiting yourself.
Dirtiest player you played against?
Danny Grucock. He, there was one time that we played Bath and he got me so good in the face. Literally like nose bleeding and all that. And Lallano literally didn't even bother because he was just like, well, it's Danny, like, it's fine. Like, we just let that happen. And then what was happening was Boris Stankovic, the prop, you know, Boris Stankovic?
Yeah.
Used to wear like electric tape to tape his head up. Looked like a burger bun, like absolute legend. He basically no arm tackling people for ages and he'd done about 20 no arms tackles. And Danny Grucock was like, fucking hell, ref, he's done it again. And this was like the 75th minute or something like that. So then Grucock gets the ball like 2 minutes later, knows that Boris is going to dive like to no arms people. And he just knees him straight in the face and Stanko's clean out. So, it was actually funny. It's genius, but equally Danny was a lovely bloke, but someone that you didn't fancy really him getting hold of you in the ruck.
Danny Grucock once knocked out Stan Collymore.
There you go.
Yeah, in a McDonald's in London. Don't mess with him.
Youngs, I'm going to have to push you for an answer on this one. Best player you've ever played with?
There's two. Jordan Murphy was phenomenal. Like, phenomenal. He made everything look so easy. And then I would also say, I'd probably say Alassane Tuilagi. Like, he was a monster on the wing. Like, he was phenomenal. And Big Al, like, he used to, we used to always laugh. If he got his dreads freshly done, if he had his fresh cornrows in, right, you knew he was going to play well. If they weren't fresh, he couldn't be asked. But if they were done fresh, Al was turning up.
But he wore trunks in the shower, didn't he?
Yeah.
That's a shame.
I wear trunks in the shower.
Wait, why?
Yeah, well, I prefer the boys all naked, but I just wear trunks. I know it's just cleanliness. People say to me,
no,
like,
you're embarrassed, aren't you?
No, no, no. People say that. I'm like, no, I'm absolutely packing heat.
I thought you loved that rugby band.
No, that's my other hashtag. Is I'm very happy and I'm hung. Does he have jet or does he have no jet? Does he have jet or does he have no jet? Does he have jet or does he have no jet? Gonna ask those questions now.
Martin Curry.
No jet.
George Ford.
A little bit of chat.
No, you've got to be brutal. If it's a little bit, it's
why did England release him?
No chat.
He liked
no
hoovering
chat.
Up.
No chat.
Mauro
no
Tozzi.
No chat.
Owen Farrell.
Chat.
Ben Kay.
Chat.
Johnny Sexton.
No chat.
Lee Halfpenny.
No chat.
Johnny Wilkinson.
No chat.
Marcus Smith.
Chat.
And Billy Vinopola.
Chat. Of course, Marcus has got chat. Look at Beth. Archie said it himself.
Yeah.
He's got chat.
I think he's got an Adidas deal. That's what he's got.
Youngsy, you've been absolutely wonderful, mate. Good luck with your podcast.
Oh, thanks,
Youngsy, thank you so much.
We're really enjoying it. Good luck for the rest of the season.
Yeah.
And
I appreciate that.
Hopefully we'll see you down in Clapham or up at Welford Road.
Lads, get me down there. I'll be more than keen to get. I'll get Pollard down there as well, Archie.
You know? I'm not interested in him. I'm interested in his wife coming down.
Murray's. I'll ask him. I can only ask, right?
Please do. But I won't be in the vicinity.
Youngsy, thank you so much.
Thanks, mate. Have a good weekend. It. Cheers, mate.
And you. What an absolute legend. It was worth the wait, Archie. Yeah, 18 months.
Yeah,
worth
the wait. One thing I'd describe Youngsy's chat is strong, mate. Yeah, worth the wait. It's worth its weight in gold, mate.
Do you reckon we'll be able to get Colesy on next week?
I think, look, I will go back on LinkedIn and reach out and see if we can negotiate a time where Dan Coles can come on, because I think it's what people want to see. They want to see Curzon and Colesy having le banter. If not, we've always got Freddie Burns to lean on. He's always available.
Well, Archie, it's been absolutely wonderful to see you. Can we just say that we may be joined by possibly our biggest ever guests next week?
Yeah. Next week is probably one of the most exciting guests we've had on the podcast.
I can't quite believe it. It is a dream come true for me.
I think people will be shocked who we've got.
Yeah, you won't be able to guess it.
You'll find out this weekend.
You think Lawrence Yellow is good. Then you think Ben Youngs is good.
Yeah,
just hold, wait. Hold your bloody horses.
Yeah.
Hold. Whoa!
Yeah, easy, boys.
Oh, yeah, that's stopping horse.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm really, really excited. I mean, I'm not going to you can probably tell, I'm a little bit hard right now.
Oh, mate, that's fine.
Sorry. But that's me.
Yeah, yeah.
That's me in a nutshell. When I can feel something happening, I tingling. Get tingles down there.
Well, Archie.
Let me just tuck it up in my belt. Don't look. Well, you can look if you want.
No, I'm okay. Archie, it's been wonderful to see you.
Feels like I'm back in chapel at school now.
Oh, good.
Archie. I used to always get really random erections then. I don't know why. I think it was the hymns. I did love singing a hymn.
You do love the Queen, like Farage. How's the GB show going, by the way?
GB News show, yeah. We're in development at the moment, yeah. But it's, yeah, I'm also really excited about that. That's really going to take my profile to the next level. Big up Reform Party for sponsoring that.
Well, Archie, it's been wonderful to see you.
They just want to make Britain good again.
I will see you in Soho next week for possibly our biggest ever interview.
Yeah.
And until then, go well this weekend. Enjoy yourself.
Yeah.
And I can't wait for the biggest one we've ever done.
Love and champagne.
It's my nature, custom love is the nomenclature. Turn down mass confusion, hit the road cause we just keep cruising. Double my fun, double my vision, long hard look at my last decision. Hustle here, hustle there, hustle me bitch and you best beware. It's emotional and I told you so, but you had to know. So I told you, soft walk to horizon, one big crash that no one dies in. This is for the folks in